Well, I guess the Democrats mean business because yesterday they voted for the 10th time to prolong the shutdown. They also voted against funding the military, which necessitated the Pentagon do some innovative accounting in order to ensure service members are paid on time. And this has, you know, with the military, it's the lower ranks you got to be concerned with. Now, for most of those lower ranks, the majority of them live in the barracks. So they would be fed and they would be housed. But for the few that are out there that are married, yes, they do need to be paid. Chuck Schumer got out there and defended this latest vote. He said it's always been unacceptable to Democrats to do the defense bill without other bills that have so many other things that are important to the American people in terms of health care, in terms of housing, in terms of safety, which is a bunch of hogwash. But to most Americans, that's just a bunch of bloviating. There is no reason paying the war fighters that should be held hostage to a debate over housing policy. John Fetterman, one of three Senate Democrats who joined Republicans on Thursday in support of the defense appropriations bill, put it earlier this week. You know, if you're thinking about winning the election now, that's all going to come down to seven or eight states. And a lot of the things, the extremism that people turn their back on in 24, and that's how we kind of came up short. Pretty decent advice, really. But Fetterman is likely to pay for being such a rare voice of reason within the party with an impending bruising Senate primary contest. Now, why exactly are the Democrats, who control neither chamber of Congress nor the presidency, continuing to insist on a protracted shutdown battle? And this is a very complex question. It's more complex than it should be. The disagreement here amounts to one over expiring Obamacare subsidies and the scope of Medicaid coverage, pertaining to no small extent to illegal aliens. So, air traffic control operations are suffering from a potential dangerous shortage. The national parks are understaffed. Service members could go without pay, all seemingly because Democrats think more taxpayer dollars should go towards subsidizing the health care of illegal aliens, despite the fact that you voted against that. And that's an astonishingly weak negotiating position. Minority parties completely out of power typically do not get what they want during a high-profile budgetary standoff or shutdown fight, and there's very little reason to expect the Republicans to cave. As the shutdown goes on, moreover, the polling on which side is more to blame seems to be gradually shifting towards the Democrats. And Schumer and Jeffries did not expect this. They expected the media to convince you it was Trump's fault. And Trump has nothing to do with this right now. This is all business taken up. This is all business that comes out of the legislature and goes to him. This is not something he sought to see. You know, he wasn't trying to put this together. So they're not going to prevail, and the longer it goes on, the worse political shape they will find themselves in. They seem to be unable to avoid tripping all over themselves. Now, with illegal immigration alone, and I think in very large part one of the reasons that Trump won is because of illegal immigration, just on that alone, the American people are overwhelmingly opposed to their agenda. A Harvard-Harris poll revealed that 56% of registered voters across the board support deporting all illegal aliens, and 78% support deporting criminal illegal aliens, which, by the way, those are majorities. On the question of taxpayer subsidizing of the genital mutilation and chemical castration procedures, referred to as gender-affirming care, another culture war sticking point, another recent poll that 66% of us are in opposition. And the polling on biological male participation in women's sports is even worse. So just those two issues, illegal immigration and gender radicalism. This is bad for the Democrats, and yet they push it. And they are arguably the two issues most at the forefront of the current Beltway standoff, at least the debate over the scope of taxpayer funding. Now, I've often quoted Sun Tzu, ancient Chinese military strategist. He famously taught that a battle is won before it's fought by choosing the terrain on which it is fought. Now, Donald Trump, unfortunately for the Democrats, is a decades-long branding and marketing genius. Already has a knack for putting these issues in such a way. The art of the 80-20 issue. And the Democrats are really happy to make his job easier by choosing the side whose loss is a foregone conclusion. Now, you would think that the Democrats, in a moment of introspection, they would look at this obsession with ID politics and wokeism and go back to the Clinton-era message of economic growth and cultural centrism because they want your vote. They want your vote, but they want your vote because they want your compliance. And then once they have your vote and they're in power, then they're going to make you submit. So today, and it's fully out there in the open, so the Democratic leadership cannot walk it back. They can't walk it back. They're guided not by what is empirically correct, what is empirically proven to work, but by a fanciful ideology. And the biggest reason that Trump prevailed in the Republican presidential primary in 2016 and why he's won so much popular support since then is that he doesn't use abstract ideology. He works in the details and then he makes them tangible. He makes them real. He saw the American people as they are and he decided to serve them. Democrats could do this, but they're not gonna. They can't do it. I watched a film yesterday, which I haven't watched in a while. A Nick Nolte film called Extreme Prejudice. Interesting story. Powers Booth plays a gringo drug lord out of Mexico, and he's Nick Nolte's old friend in this movie. And at the end, when they're both, you know, they both have a sort of thing for Maria Conchita Alonso, who was quite the dish back in those days. At the end, as they're getting ready to have their own little gunfight between the two of them, Nick Nolte pops him a couple of shots and says, "Drop it now, stop it now, and I'll take you home." And Powers Booth says, "I can't. I'm in too deep. This is all I can be. I can't." And then Nick Nolte shoots him down. Fade to black. This is where the Democrats are. They can't do it. They're in too deep. Which leaves you and I to be Nick Nolte, doesn't it? Yeah. I could handle being Nick Nolte. The Democrat Socialists of America's Israel statement is saying the quiet part out loud. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Well, today, we sort of have peace in the Middle East. On the big items, Israel and Hamas have agreed to the terms of the Trump peace plan for Gaza. They released the hostages, but then they started rounding up other people and started murdering them instead. Gazans, you know, to be sure. And still got a long way to go. Lots of things could go clean off the rails, but this is progress. Something that Joe Biden could never have, you know, managed. He even went there to be there personally when everything was signed. And the Ceasefire Now crowd is very silent. They wanted the war to end. Now that it has, they have vented their frustration in the only way they know how, by revealing their true intent, which is to destroy Israel. And this isn't a twist ending. They feel empowered by what they've been able to find out here in all of these pro-Hamas demonstrations. So, we're treated to a Democrat Socialists of America statement for an example of what apparently happened here. And we get, earlier this week, the Palestinian resistance announced that a ceasefire agreement had been reached and would entail the end of this intensified stage of the genocide. This will not end Israel's assault on the Palestinian people or the theft and occupation of Palestinian lands. A conditional ceasefire agreement does not wash the hands of the ruling class that touted their legal obligation to intervene and instead continue to fuel and arm genocide while stoking regional war. DSA acknowledges and welcomes the relief that may be afforded to Palestinians under the agreement and humanitarian assistance and cessation of Israeli military operations. Every life saved is precious, parents, children, entire communities. DSA sends the strongest solidarity to our comrades in Palestine and throughout the diaspora who have lost so much and may now take a brief moment to rest and grieve. However, DSA harbors no illusions that Israel will honor any negotiated agreement that preserves Palestinian life or self-determination. Past ceasefires only slowed the carnage and Israel continued military action with impunity. The future of Gaza continues to be negotiated, not self-determined. The occupied West Bank and Jerusalem, eroding under illegal settler expansion, continue to struggle under violent Israeli apartheid and occupation. Across the region, Israel terrorizes the people of Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Qatar, and Iran, while wielding the implicit threat of nuclear engagement to impose its fascist expansionistic aspirations. DSA stands for the full freedoms and self-determination of the Palestinian people, including the end of Israel's colonization and occupation of all Arab lands, from the river to the sea, remember. Equality and the right of all refugees to return to their homes and properties. Our role is to end U.S. complicity in Israel's genocide and apartheid at every level, in our communities, our government, our workplace, with every economic and political tool at our disposal. And this is why DSA is organizing labor for an arms embargo and pushing to join the movement bursting forth in the Mediterranean and Europe to disrupt the supply chain of endless death. And to that end, we commit to further strengthening the boycott, divestment, and sanctions picket line by organizing the masses into campaigns like Stop Fueling Genocide, all this, blah, 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 blah. We proudly join together with our comrades in solidarity. Till justice is rendered for all Palestinians, the struggle for liberation continues. Solidarity forever. Only one problem with this. None of this started till October 7th, 2023. None of this happened. They were in the middle of this. There was no military operations ongoing. They would retaliate. But hey, they would retaliate, but, you know, only when fired upon first. And then when October the 7th occurred, what Israel did was what anybody would do, what I would do. Israel reacted and he made a bunch. They made a bunch of people pay. But hey, they don't like that. They want to kill Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They want to kill all Jewish people for whatever reason. I've never understood this particular version of just hatred of fellow men and women because they're this or that. Never. The thing about Jewish people in the world today, the Jewish population today has never recovered from the Holocaust. The numbers of Jewish people on the planet are not anywhere near what they were prior to World War II. So, all things considered, for those that are in league with people that hate Jewish people, do you see the ones that you have common ground with on that one? And the Palestinians, first of all, there's no such thing as Palestine. There's never been a Palestine. If there's been a Palestine, then there's been a Palestinian form of government. Tell it to me. Who ran it? What was it? How was it comprised? What do they have in it? Now, the Democratic base, right? These people are the Democratic base, the Democratic socialists, right? Hamas and their allies knew that they could brainwash and manipulate the hyper-emotional masses of young leftists, which they've done. And they bandy about words like genocide and all this other stuff. Do you understand that if a nation today, and I mean, Netanyahu as a commando was a very fearsome individual. Very fearsome individual in the IDF, in the Mossad, all the other things that he did. If his goal was to commit genocide, he would nuke them. He would do what we did to Japan. The reason we did what we did to Japan was to keep from losing more people because Japan was going to fight to the last. Which sounds a lot like the Islamics. Right now, they have a peace. They have a peace going on. They will take this peace to reconstitute. They don't get to do self-determination, if I'm reading this agreement correctly, because they had that. They've had it for some time. There are no occupied lands there. The occupied lands they're talking about is Israel. They're saying Israel is Palestinian land. So that's the base of the Democrat Party. They just hate somebody because of what they are. So anyway, now, I like compassion. Compassion is a good thing, but when you are in the middle of a courtroom and you've been adjudicated guilty, that's where compassion needs to sit down, and it's no longer part of the equation. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Well, let's go to Bob in Hendersonville. Yes, sir.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I know emotions are running high right now. I just wanted to point out three small things. The first is that there is a large group of people out here who are concerned with how U.S. tax dollars are spent. Israel is a country of 9 million people. The U.S. is a country of 320 million people. Hmm. And to question what they do with our tax dollars and our military hardware does not mean we're anti anything. It's just good fiscal stewardship. Also, to say there's no occupied lands, every time Israel annexes a village and moves the population out and expands their border, that's the very definition of occupation. Now, I don't care either way what another country does. I care about what the U.S. does. But my concern is that a tiny, insignificant country of 9 million people has consumed American politics, American media, American radio, and American social networking. And that signifies a very large problem within our own country.
So, did you feel the same way about NATO?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am a veteran. I'm an America first. If it's within American borders, I care about it. What happens in Belgium, what happens in France, what happens in Israel, I don't really concern myself unless it's funded by American tax dollars.
So did you feel the same way about NATO?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't have anything to do with NATO. That was a decision made before our time.
Well, so was Israel. But right. Here's the thing. See, when I was stationed in Europe, we were paying more to defend Europe than Europe was.
Yeah.
When I was stationed in Europe, we spent a lot of money. I was in the theater for 3 years. I spent 25 months of that in the field practicing for World War III. Then I'd run against my cohorts in the Bundeswehr, and their vehicles would be brand spanking new. The road wheels on the track vehicles would have armor all. The armored plating would be shiny because they never saw.
You're in canvas Humvees. Ain't that a shame?
No, I wasn't in a Humvee. I was in the 80s. Humvee didn't get fielded until I got back at stateside.
Well, I'll tell you for a fact, the first wave that went in to the desert, we were not up armored. All I'm saying is to say, what are you doing with our tax money? And what are you doing with our military hardware? And questioning whether
you probably need to be
overseas.
So with
home,
that money, with
does
that
it
money,
make anybody
does
a Nazi?
Do you care about what was happening with all of the USAID things that Doge pulled out?
I'll be honest with you, I don't quite follow. I have to follow the Israel thing because it's pushed in my face.
You need to follow that too, because
I'll check into it. I've heard bits and pieces.
We're $37 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been bits and pieces. It's probably been really active in the 2000s, and there's been a lot of stuff
spent.
All this
money is just flowing overseas. Meanwhile, you know, we've got schools right here in North Carolina, right in Canton, that are ranked 127 in the nation. We've got funds that need to be spent here, not on Jews or Frenchmen or
Are those state funds?
They're government funds, and if the government doesn't want to support its own people,
in the state of South Carolina,
we have a problem.
In the state of South Carolina, all the funds for that kind of stuff resides with the state treasurer, who oversees that, and then he has to wait on the appropriations to come down from the General Assembly. Just like with North Carolina, when you had $100 million in relief funding, and your General Assembly didn't move on that to disperse that. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know. You can sit there and talk over me and all this other stuff, but there's a lot of things that, you know, Israel is a speck compared to the financial malfeasance.
Million. Yep.
No, I'm talking about the money we send them. It's a speck.
To the wasteful spending. I 100% agree. But the Israel thing, the only reason I comment on it, it's what's out there. It's what everybody's saying. Let's talk about, let's look at.
Well, if you were a military veteran, and we had to deploy, we had to deploy somewhere in the Middle East. Do you want to just jump right into the combat area, or do you want to stage somewhere?
Been there, done that. If anybody comes to our shores, I'm ready to defend, but I'm not going to any other country.
Well, then I guess it's a good thing you're ex-military.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks for the call.
First.
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's go to Greg from Anderson. Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. I just want to remind your last caller that all the weapons that we give to Israel. 99% of the time, they improve those weapons and then share that technology with us so that we are better. And people forget that. But if you look it up, they do a lot of modifications to our equipment, our weapons, and then make it better and share that with us. So there are research and development, actually. So that's all I wanted to say, and I'm driving, and I can't hear you because of the way my phone works in my truck.
Right.
But I'll just let you go with that.
Well, I appreciate the call. I mean, in the old days, the Israelis, for the very longest time, they carried the Browning 9mm pistol, the Browning High Power. They carried it for generations. They carried the M16 for generations. And then IWI came out and they got bullpups, and now they're developing their own stuff. But you still see that old stuff out there. And it's not like it's not like they have all our equipment. They have equipment from all over the place. And we sell equipment all over the place. Just had somebody calling me the other day because they were upset because pilots from Qatar are going to be training here in the United States to fly some F-15s. We just sold them. So, you know, I'm America first too, but I'm a realist. So my guy calling in, he wants to defend it when it gets here. And I can guarantee you, you don't want it to get here in order to, where we would have to defend it here. You don't want that. You do not want that. This is why we have done the way we do. This is why the last, you know, except for the attacks on 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, most everything else has happened overseas. We've never had to rebuild since the Civil War. And listen, I think it would be stupendous if all of the world would take care of itself and everything else. But the thing about the American military, what makes us different, is our ability to project force. And in order to project force, you have to have places to go. And if you don't have a place to go, and you're just flying over, and you're throwing paratroopers out of the back of a plane and letting them float down and get chopped up, there's not going to be any military victory there. But you know what? I'll say this. For all of you that are texting me about how much we send overseas and everything else, you guys have fallen victim to what the leftists tell you. I don't think we should be paying as much. I think we should pull out of NATO. I think we should pull out of the UN. I do think we should maintain whatever we can maintain overseas, certainly in South Korea, Japan, wherever we can. But, the Palestinians voted for Hamas. Hamas was on land that was occupied by Egypt prior to the war with Egypt, where they drove Egypt out. Israel occupied it, then whatever the Gazans are, they showed up, and then they pulled out and gave it to them. And that's what's happened. That's all that's happened. And we can sit back and go, oh, well, you know, this, that, the other. Okay, whatever. Until you cover the whole thing, don't come to me with just one specific item. Because the fiscal malfeasance stretches wide and far. There is what turns out to be an indecent proposal coming out of California, if you can believe that. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. There was a film of the same name, Indecent Proposal. A couple accepts $1 million for a single night that destroys their marriage. And in November, voters in California will consider a constitutional amendment proposed by the Democrats, Proposition 50, that offers a similar bargain. Surrender your constitutional right to independent redistricting, and in return, you will get Trump. That's not an agenda. That's seduction. It's an invitation to trade principle for passion, which, you know, who finds passion in politics of that nature? To exchange what is permanent and fair for what is fleeting. And the deal is as indecent as the title suggests, an appeal to anger over integrity. Which makes me wonder. How angry are the people of California? And who are they blaming? Because right now what they're asking California to do is they're saying, hey, listen, if you guys hate Trump as much as we hate Trump, go ahead and do this, give us this, and we'll make sure we get Trump. Which, first of all, that's a lie. That's a lie, because it will not get Trump. It won't. Proposition 50, though, is asking Californians to forsake the very fairness their Constitution was written to protect. They approved Proposition 11 in 2008, Proposition 20 in 2010, and they created a strong defense against gerrymandering. The Citizens Redistricting Commission, which exists today, they removed map drawing from politicians and gave it to ordinary citizens. And Democrats, Republicans, and Independents working together in public. And Proposition 50, they just want to say, well, we know that we have that, but we would just want to erase it. They want to scrap the commission and substitute maps devised in Washington by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And this would take what has already got to be a very gerrymandered map to begin with, and it would carve it all up, because in Northern California is a relatively gun-loving conservative area. And they want to carve all that up, and they want to tilt the playing field toward one party and its favored incumbents. And they're not even hiding it. They're not even hiding their intent. They're saying, help stop Donald Trump by changing who controls the map. Now, they're leaving out one part. I would love to know the answer to this one. Okay, if I do that, what do I get? Now, the gamble here is California's antipathy towards Trump. He lost the state to Kamala Harris by 20 percentage points. We'll lead voters to abandon fair districts, and Californians are being asked to discard a reform earned through decades of civic effort. And that's what makes this indecent. It exploits the polarization that the commission was meant to mitigate. They're trying to get voters who oppose a single man while forfeiting a safeguard against political corruption that protects everybody. And it's not whether you like or hate Trump. It's whether California is going to remain a state where voters choose their representatives or return to an era where the politicians choose their voters. That's what redistricting really is. The damage would fall hardest on the rural counties because nobody's listening to them anyway. And the DCCC drafted maps slice through farming regions into fragments of urban center districts where the votes will be diluted. They drew all of this in private, 3,000 miles away, assuming that rural Californians are too few to matter and too far to fight back. But they are fighting back. Shasta, Kern, Fresno have formally opposed Proposition 50. Mendocino's board refused to endorse it. These aren't partisan hacks. These are thoughtful people alarmed by losing their community's voice. And they know that once the D.C. base map drawing is normalized, it will not stop at congressional districts. County lines and school boards and water districts would be redrawn to serve the party goal. Law enforcement sees this too. 30 district attorneys and 37 county sheriffs across California have publicly opposed Proposition 50. They said it destroys transparency, silences voters, dismantles one of the few truly nonpartisan institutions in our state, which there are not that many of them. And one of the real victims there is the independent voter. They helped create the Citizens Redistricting Commission. And Proposition 50, well, first of all, Democrats don't like it. And this, you know, this attacks that achievement. To no-party preference voters, do not become accessories to this corrupt bargain, you know. The right to independent redistricting is your shield against both parties' excesses. I freely admit they are on both sides. And the moral of an indecent proposal is simple. Some offers, no matter how tempting, are never worth the cost. Proposition 50 is one of them. It tempts Californians to exchange integrity for vengeance. For a guy that will be gone in 3 years. You're giving it all up for the foreseeable future for the rest of your life, very likely, for a guy that's going to be gone in 3 years. And it doesn't even get him. It doesn't even get him. It doesn't. And the price for this is the end of fair representation in a state that once led the nation in redistricting reform. So the choice between before these voters is not about Trump or the next election. It's about whether California remains an honest, citizen-controlled republic. I would submit to you that that probably hasn't been the case for quite some time, but Proposition 50 is asking them to give that up for politics out of spite, and they get nothing out of it. In the end, opt for freedom. Get as much of it as you can. Keep your vote. Keep your maps. Keep your dignity. Decline the offer. It's the best chance you've got. One overwhelming thing that I noticed, despite all of the back and forth chatter, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you cut it, America is back. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Company.